Joining us on the TroCare College Live line, Steve Roberts, political analyst, joining us live here. Steve, the big news over the last 24 hours, the president reaching a trade deal with the European Union. I mean, these are two of the biggest economies in the entire world. I look at the stock futures and, you know, they're up a little bit. Reaction kind of muted. Is everybody just waiting on China? And like, that's the only trade deal out of everything that might matter to whether it's investors or just the average person?
Sure, that's part of it. The relationship with China economically overshadows everything else. But there's a larger point here. You know, give Trump credit. I mean, he did have this. He did make this deal. It seems to be reasonably acceptable on both sides. It was meeting with the head of the European Union yesterday in Scotland, and everybody was all smiles. But there's a lingering after effect of fallout here, Brian. Trump has acted so impulsively and mercurially on tariffs that I think that there's a lingering doubt about the stability and judgment in the White House. And I think one of the reasons why the stock market is not, you know, jumping up and down is that there's still a lot of uncertainty surrounding Trump's negotiating strategies and his use of tariffs as a tool and a weapon in international relations. So people are being very cautious, but you know, this is definitely this deal with the European Union is definitely a positive sign. But there's one other downside too. Remember, Trump was always very ambivalent about tariffs. On one hand, he said, we're going to threaten these big tariffs, but in the end, we're not going to have to impose them because people are going to make a deal. But he's also said, oh, these tariffs are going to be wonderful because they're going to provide so much income, it's going to balance our budget. Well, this, you can't have that both ways. These were always contradictory promises. And so this deal with Europe seems to be very promising, but given a 15% tariff, it's not going to provide these gushers of cash into the federal treasury that he always promised trade deals would.
But would 15% be a tolerable amount for people to be able to stomach?
Well, we'll see. You know, the market is the market is the market. People get to vote with their credit cards and their wallets every day. 15% does not sound terribly outsized. I think it gets priced into the market. On certain goods, of course, it could deter American sales abroad. But you know, I think 15% is manageable on both sides.
Well, all attention is really going toward the midterms. It seems like after one election ends, the next cycle begins, so with little attention paid to what's done in between, Steve. But a lot of the talk over the past week has been about redistricting. And in Texas, this is a big topic. It's a big topic here in New York State. It's actually a big topic around the country. Why is it always a topic in every single state, it seems like?
Well, it's always a hot topic, but it's much more so now because of the numbers. The Republicans control the House of Representatives basically by 3 seats. And history shows that in almost every case, not everyone, but almost every case, the president's party loses seats in an off-year election. And there are 2 obvious reasons for that. One is that a magnetic candidate like Trump or Ronald Reagan pulls in a lot of marginal voters who just simply don't vote in the off-year election. It's a very different electorate. You know, I covered politics in the 80s when Reagan was extremely popular. But in 1982, 2 years after his enormous victory, the Republicans lost 26 seats in the House of Representatives, partly because it was a different electorate and partly because every president picks up scars. Every president makes promises they can't keep. And this is happening right now with Donald Trump. The latest Gallup poll showed his approval rating was down to 37%, and that's mainly because of disillusionment among independent voters. So Trump knows that history says that his margin of only 3 seats in the House of Representatives is very much in danger. And if the Republicans were to lose the House in 15 months from now. That basically would cripple Trump's legislative agenda during his last 2 years in office. So the stakes are high. And so as a result of that, Trump is looking for ways to protect himself from this wave. And he's focused on Texas, where the Republicans control both houses of the state legislature. And he has urged the Republicans down there, they're now in emergency session, special legislative session, to change the boundaries of the congressional district to maximize Republican chances of winning as many as five other seats. And Democrats are just furious. They're saying, look, this is just cheating. Normally, you only redistrict the House boundaries every 10 years, and to do this in the middle of that 10-year term is really unfair. And Republicans and Democrats around the country, like Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, said, look, you do that in Texas. We're going to do this in California and other places. So there's a brewing war over these boundaries because control of the House is so fragile and both sides know how important it is.
Well, here in New York, same thing. I mean, New York finished congressional redistricting in February of last year. And now, just over a year later, Governor Hochul says she wants to start the process early. I mean, it sounds manipulative, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's not that it sounds manipulative. It is manipulative. But in many ways, it is a reaction, as I say, to the fact that, A, the House is so finely divided. B, Donald Trump has been so successful, even with a very narrow majority. Give him credit. Look, he pushed through his, quote, big, beautiful bill of huge taxes and spending cuts. He pushed through a bill that clawed back $9 billion of money already been appropriated by the Congress, mainly for foreign aid and public broadcasting. He's shown that even with a very narrow majority, his ability to push legislation through is very strong because he has such enormous and fervent loyalty on the part of his troops. So governors like Governor Hochul and Gavin Newsom, California, Pritzker in Illinois, and other Democratic leaders say, you know, we got to do everything possible to try to dislodge that majority because he has shown he's so effective as a legislative leader, even with the narrow majority. But there's also there's a footnote to this that your listeners should understand. And that is that there have been waves of redistricting over many years now in New York and many other places. And the result of that is there are only a handful of districts anywhere in the country, including some in New York, that could be considered swing or marginal districts. One website, good website, Inside Elections, estimated that at most 63 of the 435 districts could be considered, quote, in play. That's only 15%. But of the two toss-up districts where voters really are unsure who's going to win, there's only 20. This is five. That means 5% of the voters in the entire country will go to the polls next year and vote in an election where the outcome is really in doubt. And that's one of the key reasons why you see such a jump in the partisanship and polarization in Washington. There are many other reasons as well, including social media and information silos. It's not the only reason. But there are only a handful of districts left in the entire country where a member of Congress has to worry about reelection. And that just aggravates the intense partisanship that you see in Washington today.
Yeah, really interesting. Hey, Steve, thanks as always. Steve Roberts joining us live here on WBEM.